Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you. Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and building construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. Disease is, it's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run the mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th, and it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Crypt Kicker 5. graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Drax's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
"Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the monster mash. And it's a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool. Drax a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them I sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash. And do my graveyard smash. You'll catch on in a flash. Then you can monster mash.
Mash, yeah.
Easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy.
Mash, good.
Real Racing USA coming at you live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton, Florida. It's a dark, dark day in Florida stock car racing.
Jeff. Black Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Black Tuesday.
Black Tuesday, and it gets all happy.
Yeah, you know, it's how Bill smiles when he says Black Tuesday.
I was just laughing.
He's a happy fellow.
I was laughing at who gave us the title. That's all.
Bill is easily entertained.
Easily.
This is true.
Easily entertained.
What's the name of this show we're doing?
Real Racing USA, what?
Really?
Why does his microphone sound so loud?
I don't know. Who's loud?
Both of you sound loud.
Well, his is loud because he's on a different kind of cable. Remember we trained that one out? So I'll change that a little bit.
You're on a different kind of cable?
It's Tuesday, night. It's Tuesday night at the Snook River Grill. I'm on a different kind of cable.
There you go, brother.
I'm on a high-powered, high-def cable. It's Tuesday night at the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East.
Or State Road 64.
Hey, listen, we did another tribute to our buddy Bob Laster. We appreciate the use of that footage or audio.
I'm sure Bob appreciates it, too.
Oh, yeah. We're ultra-modern tonight. Man, this sounds like crap.
Why?
This sounds like crap in my ear.
Does it?
Really?
Why is that?
I don't know. It just does. Could be these cheap old mic headphones.
How about that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's okay.
So tonight we have two interesting guests that have been variously described as controversial.
I'd say probably the two most controversial men in Florida stock car racing.
I know you said that. I saw you write it.
Yeah. I saw that the local racing FBI had changed the two most dangerous men in Florida racing are now changed. There's no more of who it used to be. The most dangerous man in Florida.
Well, Robert Hart, the owner of Fast Car, used to be, and Bill, I tell you, when we go to a breakers room, you got to fix your thing because you're sounding like you've got something broken over there. Something's broken. But anyway, John Sapercone, owner of DeSoto Super Speedway in Bradenton, Florida. Don Nerone.
The Don and the King.
The Don and the King. Don Nerone, general manager of Fast Car.
There's already a couple questions up on the message board. We're ultra modern tonight. We got us a laptop.
We got a laptop.
We are connected to the internet. So if you guys got
with
a
all
question,
kinds of wireless connections.
Yeah, it's just lights blinking everywhere.
You know, if we're so wireless, why do we have so many damn wires all over the place
That's
here?
How you get wireless.
We have Howie Commander. Howie Commander is one of the most interesting people I think I've ever talked to.
What's really going to be interesting, though, we got to have John and Don sitting here when Howie's talking.
Oh, absolutely. Howie's going to be with us right after the 8 o'clock break, so he'll be here at about 8:05. Howie Commander is anybody who knows anything about now I'm doing it. From up north, Lebanon Valley,
up
Speedway,
north.
Dirt.
Up north.
He don't pay his drivers. Up north.
Yeah, trophies. Yeah,
it's all trophies. But he's a really interesting character. Now that's distorted, so
I'm working on it.
Bill's working his way through.
Anyway, if you got any questions for Don or John or any of our guests tonight, you can post them on the message board.
Todd Hutto is going to be with us a little bit later.
Todd Hutto will be here a little bit later.
Todd Hutto, the owner, one of the owners of East Bay Raceway Park in Tampa, Florida, also formerly of the Gulf Coast Modified Series in the of the
John Don and the Three Little Series.
You like that?
That was different. That was different.
Yeah, no problem. We also have some very interesting guests that we're not going to tell you about because we don't want to blow the surprise. After all, it is Halloween.
Your telephone.
This is a cell phone.
Right. And who's on the phone, Jack? They're not calling the right number. We never did test that phone.
So what happened in racing this week?
What happened
actually
in racing?
Racing? Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, the racing I was at was great.
So what happened in racing this week, Rick?
Dave Steele. Sprint car down to DeSoto. People leaving you messages on your phone.
You know, this is one of the features of these phones that drives me crazy.
It's probably somebody saying, you sound like crap, and it's going up and down.
No, I know exactly what it is.
I mean, our new sponsor, CJ, from Evergreen Construction and Developments in the house, listening to us sound like crap. Hi, CJ.
That's okay. We got it fixed now.
So anyway, Doug Moff won the limited late models. I mean, I can tell you everything that happened. Oh, you know what happened that I thought was interesting? Was the Hooters Pro Cup race.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, the coolest thing, I mean, as far as fans who like it wild and crazy,
yeah.
Benny Gordon picks up some dude and slams him on the car, hood of the car in the winner's circle at the Hooters Pro Cup race in Myrtle Beach Speedway.
Foltz. It was Foltz.
We don't have that confirmed.
From what I understand, I'm reading the Hooters Pro Cup message board here.
Yeah, well, you know how that goes.
But yeah, wild ending to
it was my understanding. It was one of Foltz's crew members. That's what Skip has reported anyway.
Anyway,
Hooters is supposed to hand down some kind of edict shortly.
Well, you know, Hooters is trying to go to be the Formula One of stock car racing, it looks like to me. All clean and happy.
They are clean and happy.
Yeah, I know. And they're sponsored by a restaurant named after women's boobs.
I thought they were owls. Like who?
Oh,
owls?
Yeah, owls. Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
So what else we got on tonight, Jack?
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, I'm always making these predictions.
Uh-huh.
Now, of course, we don't always hit the nail on the head, but I got another one of these predictions.
Uh-huh.
Auburndale Speedway, they're going to put a lock on that place in about 3 weeks.
You think so?
Yep.
You think that's why they...
think it'll make it that long?
You heard it here first.
3 weeks?
3 weeks. Put a lock on the door. And those folks down at Charlotte County Speedway, the people that handle that airport board,
uh-huh.
You know, Pam, get them on the stick. You said you were going to put out this RFP, this request for proposals, so people could start making proposals to you guys for 2008. You were going to do this in September. It didn't happen. Then you said it was going to happen in October. Now it's Halloween, which is the end of October, and it didn't happen. So we're still waiting.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. So you think it's going to happen?
Huh?
Do you think they're going to do that? The proposals will go out? Or what?
I've been watching that airport board for 8 years, and there's some well-intentioned people on it, but I have yet to see them do anything in the time frame in which they said they were going to do it.
Rick, you said we were being more interactive tonight with another computer, being able to look at the message board, get questions and so forth. What kind of things are people coming up with so far? Is it anything worthwhile, or are they out in left field?
Let me get to it. I was looking at other message boards. Trying to get a little content for the show, you know.
There you go. Right
get now. Off the porn sites,
right,
Rick.
Right now we're just winging it.
Hey, Bill, do we have a special feature tonight?
Yes, we do.
What's the special feature?
Of course, we better talk about
it. We sound a lot better.
Yeah, I finally figured out what was going on, I think. So, just very frustrating.
Man, getting used to this laptop is something else. Well, I got to thank Rob for loaning us this.
Bill, nice what's guy. The special feature we have tonight?
It has to do with a brand new feature. We're going to bring compliments of CJ Carberry and the Evergreen folks. We're going to do a little coverage of some things that have to do with a little NASCAR, a little things outside of the states.
You don't
of the
have
big
to
races.
Tell people all that. Just do it.
I can't right this second because you got me doing three things at once, and I can't.
There's a post here on the message board that says, "Why can't Bill do that?"
Yeah, because it's right here in front of me somewhere.
Oh, look, why do you got this on this website?
I have no idea what that is. Sounds like a bumblebee gone. He's really pissed off. Is that what that
That's
was?
That's the new theme song for the Florida Mini Stock Challenge.
Is that a bumblebee that was really pissed off?
Not good, huh?
Okay.
On the 7th of November, we have here at the Snook River Grill, the Grill, the Outlaw Modified Series. Did you know that, Rick?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Outlaw Modified. Steve Brigham is going to bring, he promised he'd bring 6 to 7 cars in and a bunch of drivers, and we'll see how that goes. On the 21st of November, it's going to be Citrus County Speedway Night.
21st?
Yep. Yep. A whole bunch of people from Citrus, the drivers from Citrus County Speedway are going to come down here.
A whole bunch? A
whole bunch. All That's right. what I'm told. And the 28th, we're going to have a whole bunch of trucks and cars and kids and stuff. So it's pretty, we got a bunch of stuff. And
then, cool. It's hot in this room.
It's very warm.
All right, the new feature brought to you by C.J. Carberry and the fine folks at Evergreen Development and Construction Company are going to be 3 minutes.
It was a mouthful, wasn't it? That was a mouthful.
3 minutes with our good buddy, Mr. Excitement.
Now here's John Birdie with this week's short track minutes from Mr. Excitement. Mr. Excitement. Mr. Excitement. Mr.
This is John Birdie with Mr. Excitement's 3 minutes of fame. Tony Stewart won the NASCAR Nextel Cup Bass Pro Shops 500 at Atlanta Motor Speedway with his fourth win of the 2006 season and 28th of his career. Jimmy Johnson finished second to close the points lead to 26th behind Matt Kenseth, who finished fourth after a spirited battle with Dale Earnhardt Jr. for the third position. Greg Biffle got the fifth spot. Some chasers had a rough day. Casey Kane wrecked and finished 38th. Mark Martin also got caught up in a big wreck, finishing 36th. Jeff Burton had some tire problems, finishing 13th. Kevin Harvick finished 4 laps down in 31st. Kyle Busch lost it early in the race and was never a factor, finishing 27th. Looks like the chase is going to come down to a two-driver affair. Louisiana's Jason Johnson topped off a stellar 2006 season in fine fashion with a wire-to-wire win in Saturday night's 19th annual Short Track Nationals 40-lap championship feature presented by Hoosier Tires at I-30 Speedway in Little Rock, Arkansas. Johnson's 22nd overall feature victory of the season was a profitable one for the Raging Cajun as he pocketed $16,500 in Saturday night winnings alone, including $15,000, the winning share, along with $1,000 as a bonus from Huggins Cams and another $500 for winning the pack's Dash for Cash earlier in the night. Frank Denny Jr. grabbed the lead on the 71st lap and never looked back on his way to victory in the Sobo 300 Saturday night at South Boston Speedway in South Boston, Virginia. Denny, a Mechanicsville, Virginia resident, bested a 36-car field in the race, which was extended to 304 laps after a late-race caution flag flew and set up a 2-lap shootout to the checkered flag in the process. Denny pocketed the $15,000 first place purse money. Over $57,000 in prize money was awarded in the event. Todd Zagetti of Ridgefield, Connecticut, dominated the closing race of the 2006 NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour season, leading every lap to the win in the Carcross Fall Final at Stafford Motor Speedway in Stafford Springs, Connecticut. Mike Stefanik of Coventry, Rhode Island, officially was crowned the series champion. All Stefanik needed to do was just start the race to assure himself of his 7th NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour Championship. It was the 9th overall NASCAR championship for Stefanik, placing him in a tie with Richie Evans as the all-time NASCAR championship leader. Ricky Arms of Moss, Tennessee, picked up the biggest win of his racing career on Saturday night as he won the 10th annual Commonwealth Cup at the Kentucky Lake Motor Speedway in Calvert City, Kentucky. The Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series event win for Arms was his first ever, as he became the 17th different winner during the season for the series. The 37-year-old won $10,000 for his efforts. Earl Pearson Jr. of Jacksonville, Florida, was officially crowned the 2006 Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series National Champion for the 2nd season in a row. For more details on these stories and many more, go to Southern Short Track News on Carnac.com. Until next time, this is Mr. Excitement, John Berti, encouraging you to support your local short track with your attendance this weekend.
That was this week's Short Track Minute from Mr. Excitement, John Berti.
Well, anyway, what I was saying was when John Berti gives you a minute, you get at least three. You can always
and that's why I called him John Berti 3 minutes. I figured that was the problem.
You can always count on that.
So anyway, John's going to help us out with some stuff like that each week on behalf of our new sponsor, Evergreen Development and Construction Company. We appreciate them coming on board. They'll hopefully help us with some more new equipment so we can keep updating and making things a little bit better for everybody involved. And we appreciate everybody listening in out there and going through the ups and downs with us as we are live on the air.
Man, I'm excited.
We don't pull any punches.
John Birdie's got me all...
Well, you got a laptop. You ought to be excited.
Mr. Excitement.
Man.
What can I say?
Not really. But anyway.
See, here you were, Rick. Yeah. Here you were. You were minding your own business in 1998, sitting up in the grandstands in the back straight at DeSoto Speedway, drinking beer, enjoying yourself, not a care in the world. And now look at yourself. All this responsibility.
All this responsibility, a laptop, a microphone.
Bill, let's go to commercial and come back with John Saffricone and Don Nerone.
That works for me.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. Disease is, it's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run a mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
America has made my fortune. I believe in America.
Real Racing USA coming at you live from the Snook River Grill. Man, I hope we don't get our legs broke tonight.
That was the music that tells everyone who's in the house.
Well, I got a complaint already, and we haven't even got started.
What's that?
You know, we do this week after week. We've been here about 8 weeks now.
We suck tonight.
Well, not only that, we get the two most controversial men in Florida stock car racing, and we normally have a crowd.
Nobody cares.
They scared them off.
You got that turned on?
Yes, sir.
They scared them off. Right?
Nobody cares. As
they care.
Jack, nobody cares.
Let me tell you why we have nobody here. They're listening over the internet.
See, John, they got to figure out just to turn
32,000 people listening right now.
Okay, can somebody check the mic over there because we do have a problem.
They intentionally like just.
That's good.
That's good.
Are you hearing it?
Yeah, I can hear.
Am I
hearing?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're fine. Let's
just talk.
Just go ahead, Doc.
I just said you just turn my mic on to make sure I wouldn't talk to start with. That's probably the only way this program is going to work. I have a tendency to overspeak sometimes.
Well, that's fine. That's why we brought you in.
Well, see, we got two pieces of new equipment, new software, and Bill's down there going crazy trying to figure out how to make it all work because we haven't had this arrangement before.
Yeah, it's a new card to make it sound better over the internet.
And, you guys had a meeting on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, we had a meeting on Sunday afternoon. We all got together. We decided that Karnak has to go away.
Okay.
That's been the decision that.
That's probably
we have to wash the walls. Now.
That's probably a wise decision.
if you want to put up the right amount, if you're buying things this week and it seems like it's a bargain to go out and get it, you can surely.
Jack,
I have heard the Italians are normally in the garbage business, like in New York,
right,
and
exactly.
All that. And they end up with a lot of garbage, but I don't believe that I can flush that much stuff that you've got over there. Because, boy, you get her lined up. I'm going to tell you what, though. Seriously, there'd be a lot of race fans that would be very bored if the message board didn't exist. What a riot it is. And, if you look at it, there's like 15 or 20 people, all total, stirring all the mud. So you know that they really don't count. You know,
right.
15 or 20 of them. But if you look at the people that are listening and reading, like there's 36,000 people watching, having fun with it. So it's pretty cool entertainment. So,
oh, no
Jack,
doubt.
Hats off to you. You did good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Real good, real good.
He's he realized a long time ago that it was hard to control it, but yet it was very entertaining.
Trust me, when it all started, I was as surprised as anybody else, believe me.
Control? You're not going to control that.
Well, we had the meeting Sunday. Do you guys feel that anything came out of it?
On you? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Continue.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
Do you guys feel that anything came of it?
From what I heard and from what I've seen, I mean, a couple of people turned around and said that we didn't have a really good meeting and it was over in 20 minutes. And a certain person walked out of the meeting with his tail between his legs. So, I thought it was a great meeting, the best in 5 years that I've ever seen.
Don? What was your take on it?
Well, this is a meeting that they have every year. You guys have every year to schedule things.
It's not a new meeting. It's the same old meeting.
Correct.
The problem is that you didn't hear the same old stuff because I guess it's all my fault. Or we'll say
as usual.
All my friends.
All your rowdy friends.
All my rowdy friends dictated me to be the spokesman to say, enough is enough. Get in the bandwagon or don't. Everybody in the world, and I'm going to give you the first part of the speech right now if you want to hear it. For those of you who weren't there or couldn't be there, the first part of the speech is, why don't all the tracks just get together and get along and we can have the same rules and the same thing and da-da-da-da-da. What? Man, here we are. We're all here. If it's a democracy, can we vote? Well, what do you mean? Well, if all the racetracks want to go one direction and one wants to go a different direction, how do you stop them from doing that? If five guys want to go one way and two guys want to go the other way, do the two have to follow the five? Because if they do, let's vote. Either five of us here that say, here we are, or the five of us say, look, let's stop this, all get together. We got two that says, well, I don't want to do that. So blame it on the two if the tracks don't all get together, not the five.
Exactly.
Because there's five of us that have gotten together, and that's kind of the way the meeting went. So if it was over in 10 minutes, it probably was.
It lasted about a good 25 minutes, 30 minutes.
Just to clarify things, though, every track in Florida was invited to this, not by the grapevine, but was actually called.
Everybody is invited to this party every year.
True, because we don't invite the dirt tracks because they're not into our schedule.
Okay.
And we don't invite Pensacola because we consider that lower Alabama. They're out there in L.A. somewhere.
Yeah, right. They're
but
quite
all of the asphalt tracks have always been invited, yeah.
Okay. So some of them chose not to come, and those were obviously, I think it was Charlotte County and Auburndale didn't send a representative, so to speak, at all, correct?
Obviously.
So those will be on the outside looking in for what other
folks want to do. That's not
like a new
thing,
though.
They always have been. So,
I'm sure. They feel like they can do it on their own. Now, does the same thing hold true? I know that Ocala and Citrus were there, but yet at times everybody saw them as being on the outside looking in to whatever you guys were trying to put together.
I didn't see them anywhere yet because none of them stood up and said, I don't want to do this and I'm on the outside. They didn't say that.
No, but they kind of pointed their fingers.
They probably didn't like some of the things that happened through the year with the schedules, and they felt like we were pointing our finger at them and they were pointing our finger at us, and that's exactly true. I tell it like it is, but the question is, are we in the future going to work together? And the jury's still out. Nobody said they weren't going to, let's put it that way. So as far as I'm concerned, we're all together right now. Everybody's working on their schedules, and everybody's got basically the ground rules, and we'll wait about 2 weeks and get all the schedules together.
And then we'll see who's on the same page.
And then we'll
with
see if we're all... So there's another meeting scheduled? No, not a meeting.
Oh, okay.
When the schedules get done, everybody finishes their schedules, I say, everybody, let's all get together, put the schedules in one big pile, whoever's involved in that, and see how many mistakes we made. Let's see if we can work them out.
Well, realistically, though, in a business as competitive as motorsports at short track level, it's almost inevitable that you will have, during the course of a year, some conflicts.
Well, here's one of the big major problems. Yeah. If I have a rain out, or Don has a rain out, or Bronson or somebody, and we need to put that date somewhere, we need to take a look at each other's schedule and try to do the best we can.
Right.
Like, I've called Don and said, Don, I got to put this race here. It's my ACS race or whatever, and he's running a super race that night, and he would say to me, well, I don't think it's going to affect me. You think it's going to affect you? No, whatever. All right, do it, John. Don't worry about it.
Last year we sat at the table, and I can remember we got somewhere around, I don't remember exactly where it was in the year, a year ago, and we had two dates that we just had a problem with. There was no way around. These two dates were just terrible. And I kept trying to figure a way, and John kept trying to figure a way. I said, I guess these two races are going to have to run against each other.
Right.
I said, look, I'll do this. You move yours to that date. Swap it over to that date, then I'll put mine in Lake City. Just absolutely as far away as we can get them
right,
from each other.
Right.
And let the baby be born, and we did that.
And exactly, that's how it worked.
Well, that's
I'll tell you a good one. Try this out. In the meeting I mentioned this, we're real smart. Anybody can make a mistake, and we understand a mistake in a schedule. I ran two 50-lap, our little 50-lap specialty things for Super Late Models. We run at all our racetracks. We run about two of them in each racetrack, so there's six 50-lappers. But we had both of them on exactly the same night at Lake City and New Smyrna, the two half-mile racetracks. Now, that's about the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I walked in my own office and said, how stupid can we be? Well, it ends up that there was a sprint car race scheduled in Lake City, but somebody else needed that date, so they moved that one and moved the late model race in there, so it shouldn't make any difference, and didn't look at the New Smyrna schedule.
Which it happens.
The old New Smyrna schedule, which it got moved. It happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Try this one this weekend. Right now, this weekend. Saturday night, let's go modified racing. Right?
Gulf Coast is running.
35.
Where at? Yeah. Gulf Coast is running where?
I'm not sure.
Bronson Motor Speedway.
Bronson. Right.
So okay. If you like modifiers, go there.
Right.
Of course, you like modifiers, there's a 100-lap or New Smyrna Speedway. Now, if you don't like that and you're looking for something else, you go to Charlotte County Speedway because there's one down there.
Right.
Too.
There's the Edmer. The
Twin 35s.
Twin 35s, okay.
And yeah, I'm running a 35.
And so there's a big modified race just about everywhere.
So
this
there's
weekend.
Four big modified races scheduled on the same weekend.
On the same weekend. Which one of us made the mistake? I don't have a clue.
But it happened.
They've been on the schedule forever. Somebody didn't look. Somebody go, oh, well, we'll just move this over there, and didn't look.
Where besides New Smyrna, Bronson, and DeSoto?
New Smyrna, Charlotte. Bronson, DeSoto, and
I'm
Charlotte County.
I'm a lapper.
Huh? Wow.
New Smyrna, Bronson, and Charlotte County.
Let me ask, John, in the sense that you see that this is coming up and you see this is happening, does it make you consider changing yours and putting on a different date?
Well, I'm running a regular, Saturday night 35 lapper, and, I got my 10, 12, 15 cars that'll be there that aren't going to go to the Gulf Coast, or whatever. So I'm just going to run my 35 lapper. I don't think it's a main concern, but next weekend on the 11th, the Race of Champions, the biggest modified show in Florida, it pays $3,000 to win, $200 to start. I'm hoping there's no other big shows around on that.
You're safe. I won't pay more than
you. I'm safe.
You're safe.
Okay.
You're safe. I won't pay more than you.
So we're trying to make that nice, a good race.
So if you have this scenario, okay,
which
is better? I have a question here.
Okay.
Which is better to have, whether we're talking about modifieds, late models, or super late models, or whatever, trucks, it doesn't matter. Which is better to have 45 or 50 vehicles show up at one track to race and have to have, some people go home, or to have two different tracks running them and each of them have like 20, 25, which is better?
In this particular case, and there are a lot of different cases to that. The answer to your question is, I don't want to answer that. You want to talk as a promoter, or you want to talk as a track operator, the businessman?
Well, no, I'm talking for you guys. For the track operator.
Yeah, but
well,
if all four of these races get 15 cars, let's say, so we know,
no,
we know
if,
that there's
the perfect scenario on our side is to get 26 to 28 cars, good cars, good cars.
Put on a good race.
I want the 26 best cars in Florida to come and give me a 26-car race that I can sell to the fans, and I'm happy. I.e., the other choices have 57 cars that throw the green flag and they spun out every other lap, which we've seen both sides
right.
of that.
Right.
So I generally, when I have to make a choice of one or the other, mm-hmm. I'll take the 26 good cars every time. Now.
Yeah, because then you got two places having a good crowd with
in this
good
particular
cars,
case,
good
in this particular case, and I see guys right around us now that have these modifieds. In this particular case, if you've got a modified with a small motor in it, the last thing in the world you want to do is come to New Smyrna Speedway with it.
Right.
You might take it to the smaller racetracks and run against the big motors.
You can say Charlotte.
I would say Orlando would be about a 50-50 chance.
Citrus.
Go to Bronson with your big motor and probably get your butt kicked by a little motor. Or Citrus, you know, those places that really don't make that much difference. But that isn't the way this is going. We're going to Bronson, okay? And the other choice is New Smyrna. Obviously, all the big motor cars would be in New Smyrna. All the small motor cars would be in Bronson, and it'll work out perfect. I didn't have a problem with
okay,
it.
Okay. Now, in 2007, though.
Don't even ask me that question.
I guess. No, yeah, I got to.
Yeah.
In 2007, though, we should not run up on this kind of a problem quite so big, I hope. And that is the point that, okay, there are those tracks that
you,
are not in
you
the...
You were in the meeting.
Hey, Bill, if no. they do have this problem no, next no. year, the hey, ombudsman will come in and fix it.
But my point is that then...
No, they won't.
In spite of the effort to get a coalition, so to speak, going to where people would pay attention and paid attention to what they're putting on the map, you're going to still have a track or two out there that are not working with you that will go, oh, they got an open-wheel modified race here, let's put one on. And that kind of crap. Is that what we're going to wind up seeing?
No. If somebody got some idea that they wanted to do that,
that's silly.
That'd be pretty silly, be pretty stupid. And the point I'm going to bring to you is I'll probably join them.
Now, in the,
I don't know if you missed the point.
I do.
I'll probably join them because in the past it's been, gee, Tom, why did you do that? It doesn't make – let's not do that anymore. Now it's, Tom, hold on with both hands. Yeah. I'm going to show you some scheduling. And then one of the five of us will make sure we have a race every week for the rest of our life there. And that's
now,
all I can tell you.
In the open wheel modifieds we've been talking about, back years ago, the Sarah series came on board and started traveling and doing a great job. How did that tend to affect the way things were going at the tracks then, as opposed to the new Gulf Coast modified series now?
Were you around for the Sarah thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know where they were now.
Well, I didn't go to a lot of Sarah races. I went to about three
well,
or four.
Well, that was the traveling series, and that was like the only modified traveling
no,
series
there
in
was, there was There's been modified there traveling several, series yeah. from the beginning. And one has started, and somebody else starts a new one. And every time somebody starts a new one, the old one goes away, and the new one takes over. And then a little while later, somebody starts another new one, and the old one goes away, and a new one takes over. That's been going on in Florida
but
since 19...
The concept,
87.
The thing that all the people out there at racing, the fans and the drivers, tended to see there, though, and they still talk highly of that series, was that it was traveling, it was well run, it was good pay, decent pay, and so forth. And it went away anyway. So
right.
So what makes that kind of thing happen? Why can't they seem to sustain themselves for longer than they do?
Like the TBARA.
Correct.
TBARA is in a real different situation. And they didn't sustain themselves forever. They've done a great job here the last 10 years. I mean, really done a great job. But I remember the years and years before that when it was a real struggling battle when they came up with probably the largest purse in 8 and 10 cars to a race. And they fought themselves from the inside constantly. And finally, and I hope a lot of them old sprint car guys are listening, finally them old guys quit driving. Their kids took over. They just wanted to race. Good. All the old men want to do is argue about everything. These kids they got now, they want to race. They put on a great show. They got
welcome to Real Racing USA. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Rick Day calling in.
Hey, Rick.
Who?
Rick Day? Yeah.
And I talk about the...
series, so I figured I'd get him put some 2 cents worth in there on it.
Where are you calling us from, Rick Day?
Texas.
San Antonio, Texas.
The Alamo. Remember the Alamo.
Yeah.
Rick, how long did you do the Sarah series? Did you do
Sarah series was around for 10 years.
10 years.
And I owned it the last 5 years of the series.
Okay. How was your car counts? They were usually in the 15 to 25 range, or were they better?
My Sarah late models were better than that. Now, I remember one race at Orlando Speed World, we had 43 limited cars show up. Modified wise,
67 for the first show at Lakeland.
Oh, yeah, we had 67 modified.
67 for the first show at Lakeland, Rick.
Uh-huh. So, had quite a few of them there.
So why is it so hard now, Rick, for guys to get 67 cars in one place?
No idea.
Not sure? How did you manage to do it, though? I mean, did you have a lot of advertising dollar? Did you have what was going on?
Well, just a little, we had a lot of good guys back then. We'll get us good contacts. Of course, we did some promotions out of state and everything. And speed weeks wise, we had the guys, a lot of guys coming up from I-70 and different places. So it worked out real good for us back then.
Turn your computer down in the background. But
I just tried to walk away from it.
Okay,
Rick, I just have one question. Has the car counts in Texas over the last 5 to 10 years generally dropped as they have elsewhere?
Well, I've only been here since the first of the year. They hired me back in January. So I've been here only since the first year, so I really don't know a whole lot of the history. Well, they went through some rule changes and stuff like that, and our super late model class has died off a little bit. We're looking at some stuff with the ASA package to revamp that program a little bit. Our modified program is coming back on real strong. We also have a arts-type truck series out here also that we have, so we're... got a half-mile asphalt track and three turn divisions that we do, and car counts are coming back pretty good for us.
San Antonio, Texas.
Anybody
ever mention Clyde Hart's name around there?
Yeah, there is a gentleman called Joe Horn that knows Mr. Hart very well.
Hey, Rick.
I have lunch with him about once a week.
Rick, at what point when you got there did you decide to get into what is now, I think it's, tell me if I'm wrong, it's USRA?
Yes, it is. It's USRA.
And how did that get formed, or was it already there?
It was already there. Be honest with you, the USRA has been around for 31 years during different owners and sanctioning organizations. It started out as the old TIDA Late Model Series, which is the Texas International Drivers Association. Then it went to the Romco series, and then my boss bought it 3 years ago and changed it to USRA. And so it's got like 30-year history. A lot of our guys go down to Florida, Chris Davidson, stuff like that. So,
Rick, the question that that Bill Green had, just before you called us, the question that Bill Green had asked Don, I'm not sure that I didn't hear an answer that got to the bottom of it, is why is it difficult for these traveling series seem to come around and they grow for a minute and then they wilt on the vine and go away. And then somebody else comes along and starts another one like it or whatever. What is the issue with the traveling series not like having longevity?
The only thing I can think of is somebody thinks they can come in and have the next best idea. When I had the Sarah deal, it was going great, going strong. We had some personnel conflicts and I fired somebody. And somebody decided they wanted to start a deal against me and kind of split the deal in half. One of them type deals.
Well, the fact is that at least in Florida, the number of drivers actually out there racing on the weekend is less across the board than it was back then. Isn't it possible that the Sarah series would have had a downturn in car counts? Just like as because of that, because there's not as many guys driving?
It's a possibility. I know, like, back in the 90s when I had, I think it was 92 when I shut it. Hell, I don't even remember what it was when I shut it down. 02, I think it was. Like 2000, we had a decline in our modified package because of the big motors, and we tried to do different things with the program, and it didn't really work too good. And then we went to that real package that Sunshine had. And to be honest with you, my personal feelings turned to modified around in Florida and for my series when I had it at the time. Because we went from about 12, 14 cars up to 20, 24, 25 cars again. And I really think that helped a bunch. Now you got the economy with the fuel. The price of fuel was real tough for traveling. Here in Texas, we've got, there's only four asphalt tracks, and they're spread out so far. So it takes you an arm and a leg to travel anywhere. So that's hurting us a little bit out here. But racing was great, and the car counts are still good. But it has fluctuated a little bit here in the last year or two.
Well, Rick, we're going to get back into talking about just those things, the rules packages that will be used in some of the series that are here in Florida and some of the things that are going on. We appreciate you giving us a shout, man. We wish you all the success out in Texas because it sounds like you're doing a great job and having fun at it.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely having a good time. And do miss Florida. Don't miss the politics of Florida. But we're still having a good time.
But keep listening. Go ahead, Don. You had something.
Hey, Rick, we miss you too, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, keep listening. Rick, keep listening. And if you get something else that comes up, put a post on the message board. Rick's monitoring it.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Y'all have a good one.
Thanks. Rick Day, ladies and gentlemen, the past owner of the Sarah series. A lot of guys enjoyed that series. A lot of fans did too. It used to bring some people to the track.
Yesterday.
Hold on a second. Oh, we got a question?
We got a lot of questions coming in right now, and I got one in the email. This one's for Don. It's from Chad. My question is about the Southern Sportsman Series. I want to know if there's going to be any changes in the way it has been run or in the rules. I'm in the process of building a car for next season and hope that there won't be any changes because the car is almost finished, Don.
No, there are no changes that I know of. Actually, Scott, who has been helping run all that, is actually going to be the series director for Fast Car, and Scott will actually run it. But Scott has been working with him from day one since they started and originally worked for Todd. And that's how he got to come to work for me. Actually, Todd worked for me before that. Todd was my hero of all time. He was one of those guys you found in the woods in the ranks. Said, gee whiz, I hear him all the time. If I was doing it, I'd. I said, well, Todd, come on, help me do it. And it wasn't a year later, Todd ran all the tours. And wanted to have his own tour, then wanted to have his own racetrack, and I'm as proud as I can be of him. And Scott's one of those guys that came down through that line, so Scott is actually going to take care of the Sportsman Series. I was looking on the Internet, and somebody put something about what a terrible deal it is because now we'll have softer tires and lower the purse. I didn't get that. I really didn't get that.
Because you're not making any major changes, especially this year.
Well, no, I just got a kick out of
softer tires and lower purse.
Lower purses. Probably, I hope Todd put that purse together that he uses. And it's a great purse, and John will tell you the same thing. The racers are happy with the purse, and the promoters are happy with the purse.
Very reasonable.
Both people are happy with the program, the way it runs, and I think they made it as economical as they could. The last thing in the world that I'd be after would be lowering a purse or softer tires. I don't get it. As far as rule changes, there aren't any at all. I'm going to try to get the Fast Car Weekly Racing Sportsman cars closer to theirs so that we can get more cars to race, if anything.
That makes sense. John, I noticed that the preliminary word had it that, like TBRA and so forth, would visit DeSoto Speedway several more times than they had in the past and such as that. Will you start getting some of these series back in more often for the fans because you can afford them and they will be on
the... Well, most definitely. Well, I'm going to try to run three or four. I'm going to bring in the Mini Stock Challenge and the Street Stock and the Southern Sportsman's the same night. I think we have planned for three race dates with them, and I think three or four with the modifieds.
What about TBRA?
TBRA, we're going to run seven times next year.
Seven times.
Wow, that's almost...
Right. I'll tell you what.
Nice, John.
They make us six happy. This year. I'll tell you what. I mean, those guys put on... I mean, the other night, what, Rick, I mean, tell them about the show that we had.
Oh, it was awesome.
It's the DeSoto TBRA miniseries.
Yeah, no doubt.
There you go. But, I mean, and there's no doubt. But usually...
Well, you know, John has more money than we do. He can afford it.
Yeah, but I don't have all the series.
No. What was that, Don?
John's got more money at DeSoto, so he can afford to run all those sprint car races. Where we have to, with our money, support all those series that we travel around on.
But my point was this, because I know over the years the TBRA has gone to great lengths to go maybe three times. Usually is about the most they'd like to go to a track, because they would go to 10 or eight tracks or something, try to get 24 races or
I mean, look,
seven
how many
tracks
are they running out right now? You got, what do we got, five or six are they running out on pavement?
Well, six times seven would be an awful lot of races.
Yeah, I don't know. We run them twice at each one of our,
right,
our racetracks, and generally speaking, that's enough for us, really. We run them twice, and proud to have them the two times, plus we run them twice during Speed Week, which really works out great, and there's no doubt they really got their stuff together. They do a great job. And
excellent.
And if I was as close to Tampa as you are, I'd run them seven. I admit it, I'd run them seven times. As a matter of fact,
I'll tell you what, they love
in the old days, we used to run them, we run them 10 times. Golden Gate ran, I think ran them.
I'll tell you, my fans, they love these sprint cars for some reason.
They race up there with school bus racing on that.
Well, actually, you want to know something? We ran them sprint cars Saturday night, and people actually got up and left after the sprint car race was over. Didn't care about them buses.
I wouldn't doubt that.
I mean,
it was
a small portion of them, but I mean, they love those sprint cars.
So, was there besides the scheduling? Was there any other things?
I was just going to get to that.
Go for it.
There's another rumor that's floating around out there from people that weren't there was that you guys put Todd Hutto in charge of everything. What's your response?
I thought he already was in charge of everything. That's what it was said on the internet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, really. What's Todd's stance?
At some case, whatever stance he wants to take, I'll be glad to have him do whatever he wants to. But in the factor, almost the joke was that gentleman owns Ocala thought it was a very, very great idea as long as I wasn't in charge of it.
Critter liked it, too.
Not Critter.
No, Critter.
Critter didn't say a word.
Mike Peters.
Mike Peters. Critter didn't say a word. Mike said, I think it's a great idea as long as you're not in charge of it. And I said, well, we'll just put Todd in charge of it. He said, yeah, we'll put Todd in charge of it.
Todd said, oh, yeah, I'll do it.
And Todd said, sure, I'll do it. So basically that's where that comes from. Actually, what else did we get done? Absolutely nothing. Oh, boy, that sounds good.
It's Halloween, man. It's Halloween. What else got done?
I guess other than that, nothing really got done.
Well, ASA deal we're going to put together?
As far as all the tracks together, they all got to break off in little groups like we always do,
right,
and try to work on schedules.
The sidebars.
Now, once we got the sidebars going, what did we get done? Three ASA races in Florida. I thought that's a pretty good sidebar.
That's a pretty good deal right there.
Not something that I would normally want to do, me personally. Maybe not something that John would want to do normally.
But you twisted my arm again.
You've got Mike Cope, who is always been an ASA supporter, and said, I want some support in Florida.
So we gave it to him.
I said, okay, what do you want? I want each one of you to have a race. Okay, how much is it? Well, their purse is pretty tough, you know, for our little racetrack. So we sat down and said, well, how can we get this done? I happen to know where the sponsor's at. So I picked up the phone right there in the middle of the meeting, and about 5 minutes secured a sponsor for all three races, and we booked an ASA race with ASA, and I think it's going to be a good step,
and it's going
to
be.
Do you feel bringing those like the ASA into Florida tends to compete with the late model programs we got going, or does it just totally separate?
Not the late model programs that we have going,
okay,
whatsoever. I think that the fans would like to see some of the out of state kids that are there in that program, and I think it'll work out real well.
Because we scheduled the ASA race at DeSoto.
There's about six. I think there's six. What, right?
There's been about six or seven Florida racers go to the ASA.
I think there's about
some
six or
races,
seven
man.
That have gone. I know four.
There's
going to
be a bunch more.
Yeah,
there's a bunch.
I think
more.
So.
I know. Well,
people we've talked to.
Is that a good thing for us, or is that a bad thing?
I heard just the opposite.
Oh no, I think it's pretty good to get the.
Opposite because Stephen Progressive just told me he's delivering five motors for five kids that were going there. They're going to come run super late models with us. So there's five of those of the ones we talked about that had. I.e. crate motors that took their crate motors out and put motors in. So
I know that Bass and Taylor and some of the others in the FAST program had gone and run the ASA.
And there's still five that I know of real good drivers. There's always some that are going to come and go. I mean, five guys that are really funded well enough to make all those races because a lot of traveling.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Nice to have them coming into Florida.
Okay,
they don't have to travel so far.
You've got five from Florida that are going to go, and that was their chance. I mean, they ought to get a race in their home state, and that's why we did it.
That's cool.
Obviously, that's where the sponsors are too, or the parents of the ones that race here, and they like to see some Florida races.
Well, help us out though. Help us understand why you feel that it's not good to bring an ASA or even let's say USA gets a Busch race or something. Bring those kind of things down here.
USA has an ARCA race. Did you catch up on that one?
I did hear about that one, but I didn't.
And it took about five of us. Again, like all of us together, this little group. to help secure the sponsor for that race for Billy. Now, why would we do that?
Who is the sponsor? Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you. You've got to wait for it to come out in the press. Or I would tell you, and I wouldn't, yeah, for the, I mean,
what press is it going to come out in?
We are the press. Yeah, no, you're not.
No,
when
we're
they,
not.
When they give it, when they give it we'll to you in that. Their press release, then you can read it and have all, you call Billy and ask him who it is.
I'll call Billy that.
And the same thing with the ASA thing. So, we all got together and worked on getting that ARCA sponsor together. We all got together and worked on getting that ASA sponsorship together. And when I've got something that doesn't work for me, but I think it'll work for Billy, I'm going to give it to him. And vice versa with John.
Exactly.
And that's what being together is about.
We've got a question on the message board from Scotty a Cat. It's to both of you. Have you ever given any thought to hosting a NASCAR Busch East Series race, formerly Busch North, as they have experienced out of the Northeast and they would like to start their season earlier and need a warmer climate to do so?
For about $176,000 sponsor I'm in.
Yeah,
Lakeland, is that where it would be?
First thing I just thought was Busch.
You asked if we thought about hosting for $176,000. I'm in. Anybody got $176,000?
Why do they still like the Busch races? Why do they need so much from the track? Whenever you, I mean, I knew they need something from the track.
Well, somebody's
got
to pay.
But why do they? Yeah, but they've got such a TV deal and stuff. Supposed to be.
Oh no, no, somebody else keeps all that money. You don't understand the NASCAR program.
Okay.
The racetrack pays for everything, and they get to keep all the other money, and they always have.
John,
on the short track side, they don't share it all.
What kind of deal is that?
You'll figure.
John asked whether it was a
John
good...
John could afford the ASA, I bet. I'm sure some years.
We were talking about the drivers going elsewhere out of the state to race out of Florida. John asked if it was a good thing or a bad thing. And it is. It's just a thing. They do it. But I think if we had, you know, there's a lot of people who feel that if we had more... bigger races, we need to have some of those races down here so they do race here.
They're not going to come here, guys.
Why?
They're not going to come.
Why?
There was a race about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
That paid $10,000 to win with $20,000 worth of point money. Remember that one? There's been a lot of those big paying races. John's had some big paying races. Why don't the super late models from the north come to Florida and try to get some of this money? Because the same five or six guys that we have that race with us, that race at John's racetrack and race at mine and race at Billy's, you take those, I think there's between the eight of them, and I call the dogs, you put those eight dogs in the pile, and everybody's going to love this on the internet. You ready? The guys from the north can't compete.
Well, we've said that. We've had that conversation.
They don't keep up.
Clay
what
Rogers
they need to do
said
is
that. All these guys say that. They all
Clay
say
Rogers
that.
Would say they can't
they
keep
all
up.
Say that.
They
we're,
said it was
exactly.
Because, bear with me, you're going to love this. Here got my stick. They said it was because we ran outlaw bodies and didn't tech our bodies. We made ASA body rule for them and followed right to the line.
But
bear with me. Okay. They said that it's because of our motors, so we gave them better motors than ours, and they do. I mean, their engines are better than ours. They got gasket match intakes and ported head. Go ahead. We don't care what you run. It got all the way down to... You tech our cars, which we let. The CRA series told their tech officials, you tech our cars and give them the way you want them, then race them. And did you look at the first year's time trials? It was terrible. First 27 cars were from the south. The problem is that they've got about 18 big races a year up there that are 250 and 300 lap races, and they're good at that. But they come down here for 125 lap race and get their butts kicked because right. They don't. It's not their game.
Well, I think we were talking about ASA, the ASA
and
late models.
The ASA, they're not even in the game.
What makes
that's
it
a street
not
stock.
Their game, though? What
it's a street stock, guys.
They're late models?
They're late models. They're street stocks.
So they don't have a car to compete with our guys?
Absolutely not.
What they call
those are street stocks.
Are you talking about the ASA, Don?
ASA late models.
ASA late models are street stocks.
I'm talking about the guys that come down from up north that are running the so-called super late models that can't keep up
that
with our guys.
ASA does not have a super late model.
No, I'm not talking about ASA. I'm talking about
I think it's
like when you do the north-south or the guys that won't come down here.
They come down for the north-south, right?
They were in
late
model
stocks. They come down
for
the north-south and got their butts kicked the first year. They did pretty good the second year. And I think this year they're going to be able to compete because it's 3 years in a row. I think this year they're going to be able to compete, but the last 2 years they didn't.
When the northern cars come down for speed weeks and run your super shows at New Smyrna, how do they do over there?
They do very, very well, but that's a different group of cars. They came from Canada. They came from Maine. Those cars, they run speed week with them. Like, people don't get it. They run 10 races with those cars, the good guys. They run 10 races with, like Louis, run 10 races with that car, put it back in a trailer and take it home, and you know what happens? It comes out of the trailer for the Oxford 250.
250, right.
Right? One other race they have up there, and it's put back in the trailer, and you know what it's saved for? Speed Week.
So ASA racers, a guy like Lonnie Miller, who's come in with us tonight, he should go race there because that would be where he could compete with them with his car.
He has no hope of competing in Maine, no.
But he can down here.
The only place that he can compete is in a place where they run an ASA-type car.
Can you believe that, Lonnie?
I think Lonnie can do anything he wants.
The only place that he can compete with his car...
There you go.
Here's the problem. He's running a car that's got a 400-horsepower motor in it, and everybody else is running 650-horse. How do you want him to compete? Wake up, guys. Ask a reasonable question. I'll give you a reasonable answer.
What else we got on there? Got an email here from Gary Ford. I believe this is to you, Don. It says, make the Gulf Coast modified to a small spec engine series only. Please don't price us off the track by having to run open motors. I may have to go back to dirt if open motors rule.
Well, I said a minute ago, that's right. About the last thing I'd want to change.
Right.
You know, the numbers always seem to win. If you sit down and look back, all that we're doing here is all for fun, by the way. If I say something that gets somebody mad, don't take it personally. And with me, it is all in fun. But you do the numbers. Gulf Coast Classic has had a very, very good car count every race they've had, and that is their worth is their car count. So why would anybody change anything as long as it's working? Now, the big motored cars have had acceptable car counts at about 4 or 5 of the races. I think they had 25 cars for one of the 50 lappers they had, I think in, Lake City, and what they have at Lakeland. The last time they raced there, they were in the 30s, and I think they'll be in the 30s the next time we go back there. So some of the bigger racetracks can run big motored races, and the smaller racetrack can run the smaller motor. I am absolutely going to keep them so far apart that you're going to see enough changes in the big motored cars, not the little motor cars, but in the big motor cars that you'll be able to see it on the racetrack. You'll know which one is which, trust me.
Well, now I got to ask you this, though. If you're getting they're getting great car counts on all of Todd's traveling series and stuff, and they really are, I know in the long run, they do have a few races every once in a while that come up at a wrong time and something's happened to cars, but how can we improve the fan counts for those traveling series as if it were a TBRA? The TBRA draws quite a number of people into the seats, some of these don't.
The mini stock car count really did fall off on that program quite a bit compared to what it was to begin with. The sportsmen seem to be staying pretty solid. The modifieds haven't had a whole lot of races. They didn't have any races last year. They had just so few to really get their teeth sunk in it, but I think next year they have a lot more races.
So you believe in 2007 they'll really start to build a fan base?
I think. Well, I'm going to tell you what I've seen from my side of the program, and I see more than a lot of people do because I have to chase 3 or 4 racetracks at a time. Certain areas, I can go to Orlando and put on a sportsman race, one of Todd's sportsman race, and see a change in the grandstands. I can put on a Goodyear Challenge race, which I absolutely love. It's a great deal. See, no change in the grandstands. None whatsoever. Nobody cared because they're super late model fans. I can go to Lake City with a Goodyear Challenge race and quadruple the fans. They'll be falling out of the bleachers. They absolutely love those cars. They didn't see the beginning of limited late model racing, of everybody wrecking, everybody spinning out, everybody looking bad. What they've seen is what we have now, which is probably the greatest series going for exciting racing. So they've been up there the last 3 years with Goodyear races. I have a Goodyear race up there. They're falling out. They love it.
We're getting ready to go to break here in a few minutes, and actually, you know, like real quick.
Let me finish it real quick for him.
Okay.
It's up to the racer. Racer, get out there. Show good racing. Don't show your butt. Make the fans want to come see you. You can do that in the autograph set.
When we come back from the break, we're going to have Howie Commander from Lebanon Valley Speedway join you guys. And we're going to talk about some of these issues. And it is Halloween.
Last night I had a fight with a very good friend of mine.
You did?
I got so mad I said some things that even made her cry.
You didn't?
Then I tore right out the door and I ran till I couldn't run anymore, and when I looked up finally I was standing in a cemetery.
Uh-oh. This doesn't look like the mall. How did I get here? Well, that's when I heard a sound that chilled me to the bone. There was something creeping around behind the big gravestone.
He looked around.
Suddenly, there he was, half wolf, half man, half minibus. I tried to move, but my feet were froze. In a flash, he was breathing down my nose.
How are you this evening, sir? That's some fur coat you're wearing.
But just then, to my surprise, the wolfman said to me,
"What did he say?"
Well, I can tell you had a fight. I sense hostility.
That's not the way.
Take a tip from the wolfman, son. When you're really mad, you gotta hold your tongue. You might say things you regret. So try doing this instead. Do the growl. First, you make a scowl. Well, then, you sort of prowl. Then, you just growl. Like this. Well, then the wolf man disappeared and I was all alone. But in his place I spied the face of a dirty old tombstone. Epitaph said, when you're really mad, remember that sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can hurt forever. So do the growl. First, you make a scowl. Then, you sort of prowl. Then, you just growl.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA. Jack, where are we at?
I don't know where we're at. We're at Snook River Grill in, right outside of Tampa, Florida.
Everybody's out smoking.
And we got our guest flew to Coop.
They'll be back, though.
They'll be back in a minute. Yeah,
more questions to ask them from the message board. Really want to thank you guys who have posted on the message board. And, of course, we're going to get to all of them. A lot of them have to deal with the big motor rule. Jack, you want to introduce our next guest?
Oh, is he here?
He's here.
He's here? Mm-hmm. All right. From Lebanon Valley Speedway. It's a half-mile dirt track, right?
Yeah. Better be.
Yeah, Howie Commander. We talked to Howie last year. He's an entertaining guy. He's a very informative guy, and he's a very knowledgeable guy. Welcome to the show tonight with us, Howie. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Last year, Howie, after we talked to you, somebody sent me an email that said, "Where did you get that guy? He thinks way out of the box." What do you think?
Well, we've been doing it at Lebanon Valley. I've been doing it for 30-some years, 40 years, and we've stayed alive and well for that time, so thinking out of the box is part of the game.
Well, I tell you what, it sure sounds like you got a lot of great things going on. What's your stand on traveling series?
How do you feel like what we hear around Florida and around the country when we talk to promoters is some feel that traveling series, the local traveling series and so forth, are beneficial to them, and some think that they're the curse of the devil.
Well, I think that some traveling series in auto racing can be very, very profitable, and other traveling series have slowed down a little bit. For example, a group of us used to put on World of Outlaw shows, and the World of Outlaws is a great traveling series, and it has been one of the best traveling series, but the purses have gotten so high that many of your marginal venues can hardly afford them anymore and can't make money. And as soon as that happens, when a promoter can't make money on a sunny day, he has to reevaluate whether the traveling series can hold its own.
Well, Howie, I got to ask you then, when it comes to like a World of Outlaws kind of show and they're high expense, so to speak, on their end, does it just outnumber the number of people you can actually get to your track, so to speak, you're talking about, so the people can't afford to have them in because they can't make the money to make it pay for itself?
Right. You have to be able to make money. And, talking about sprint car, traveling shows, you can buy sprint car traveling shows from $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Up to the World of Outlaws with the sanctioning fees that cost you $70,000, $80,000. And a traveling show has to have value in order to keep on coming back to a track.
Now, Howie, do you have some traveling series in your area that you bring to your track that are fairly local series, so to speak, maybe traveling four or five tracks, that kind of thing, that are affordable and you can run?
I have none at Lebanon Valley, and I'll tell you why. At Lebanon, we draw between 180 and 220 cars a night in four classes. And when you start racing at 6 o'clock at night, you want to be done. A 4-hour show is even too long from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock. And a lot of nights we're done at 10, 10:15. And to put a traveling series on top of a program like that, is next to impossible.
Well, we have sitting in with us, Howie, we have Don Nerone from down here in the Florida area, in charge of a lot of different things and has a lot of fun with late models. And then we also have John Sappercone, the owner of DeSoto Speedway. So they're sitting here with us listening to what you have to say about things. And they're just not sure that your program would work in the South, so to speak, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure that that our program might not work at certain tracks, but like Boone, Iowa, for example, my friend Robert Lawton runs Boone and the Boone Nationals, and we talk all the time that our shows should probably be 2 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes long, and our shows are just too long right now. Some tracks can bring in some traveling series, and when we run over at the Talladega Short Track in Alabama, we bring in the Southern All-Stars on Talladega weekends, and we're very successful with them on a specialty event where there are a lot of fans in the area that can support such a show.
I got to ask you another question, Howie. If people are going to get 2.5 hours of entertainment at Lebanon, how much do they pay to get in the grandstands to see that?
We're charging $10 to get in. We were at $9 a year ago, but we're at $10, and our pit prices are, this is going to scare everybody, our pit prices are $14 and $16. $14 if you have a license, and $16 if you don't.
Hey, Howie.
Yes.
Let me just. I'm dying to hear some things because I love everything I've heard so far. And it wasn't just maybe 5 years ago we saw some racetracks that had some 200 car counts, and we still get. I think I had 109 at Orlando the last time we run. And, John, you've been in over the 100 a few times here recently.
Yeah, I had a couple about 130, 140.
I mean, so we get some of the 100s, but the problem that we have is just so expensive to do. What kind of purse payout do you have for those 200 cars?
We have, which I said on the show last year, we start out with a pure stock class. Our pure stock class has about 80 to 90 cars in it. They race for trophies only, and we usually have the class is split into four features, and the cost of the trophies are around $400. We give the top eight cars in each feature event. The four classes run just feature events, and then we move to a what we call a pro stocker, and it's like a late model car. Our pro stockers, the total purse for them is about $800, and they run two heats and a 20-lap feature.
Howie, how many races a year do you run?
How many what?
Races a year, events do you run?
We start running in April when it warms up north. And we run until September. So
that's
we're
about
running,
20, about 22 shows a year?
Yeah, somewhere in the 20s. And we hope that we don't get rained out, you know, too many times.
What kind of capacity can you hold with fans?
We can hold 7,000 plus. But we never get 7,000.
What's your average fan count, would you think?
The average stand count for an average Saturday night, not a special Saturday night, just an average Saturday night, is right around 2,200 to 2,400 people in the stands and 1,200 to 1,400 people in the pits.
Well, let me see if I can get this then. So if 90 of the cars are classed that run for a trophy,
mm-hmm.
and the second
and
division runs...
And then we've got the pro stockers, which run for a small purse.
For $800. So 50% of the cars at the racetrack are now running for a $800 purse.
Over 50% of them.
Over 50% of them, boy.
Yeah.
We could use some of that. You know what? I could build new bathrooms and put new lights up. And
exactly.
I'd give them chrome-plated speakers for that.
That's why we got Howie on last year, because I heard he was doing this. I said, well, this makes sense. I mean, it just, you know.
There's a guy out. There's a guy out west that runs nothing but a trophy night, which is his Friday night, and in Orlando, that's what we tried to do on Saturday night, was to run all the smaller divisions where it was real inexpensive or for trophies, and I told him I'd give everybody a free grandstand ticket. I didn't care as long as somebody would come.
How many people, Don, do you have when you
I
do that?
I never, ever got more than 110 people in the grandstands for the night that they ran the little cars.
150 people?
It was the biggest. The average is 25 people on Saturday night. At Orlando, we run the cheap cars where there is no purse. Or
how
I'm not going to say no
purse.
Well,
how about on Saturday
There's
night?
More than $800 purse. There's about a $1,600 purse for that.
Well, how many people are in the pits?
In the pits.
About 350 or 400.
$25 a head?
$25 a head.
You give them trophies.
I give them trophies, and the total purse that night is about $1,500. Yeah, I make money. I make money every Saturday night at Orlando.
I'm thinking about doing that on Friday night.
The problem was, let me give you the problem. It took me 2 years before we got organized enough we could make any money at it.
Well, since
we lost money for 2 years.
Since you got it figured out, now I'm going to follow you and do it on Friday.
I'm not working for trophies.
Sure, you get a trophy, you're a great announcer.
You get a hamburger.
We're not going to have an announcer.
There you go.
I like
it. We have an announcer, but he gets a hamburger.
Hey, Howie.
Dave Westerman.
Howie, I'm trying to ask you about your employees, come to think of it. Do you have a lot? Are there a lot of people kind of doing a volunteer work so they get to see the races for free?
We have virtually no volunteer people, and our employees probably are somewhere between $1,000 and $1,200 at an event.
Wow,
we have three announcers.
In other words, you're not getting a raise, Bill.
No, I thought maybe he needs an announcer.
No,
ours runs about the same, and I know that John's does also, and we got about the same ticket price. Okay, what we don't have is the 2,500 people every week and the no purse.
Yeah.
Obviously, if we could get to the no purse, you could keep the 2,500 people.
We have a pretty significant purse for the big block modifieds, and that purse runs right around $11,000.
You know,
support classes.
Why don't we tell them what we pay our super late models for a purse for a Saturday night on a 125 lap race? Go ahead, Don.
Well, I'll let you go first because everybody thinks yours is higher than mine because you pay more to start. But how much is yours for a full field?
About 18,000.
Mine's 16.8 for 24 cars, and yours is 15.9 for 24 cars. Same purse. In all the actual payouts, about $16,000 for 24 cars. And then it's $10,000 for the limiteds. I don't know what yours ends up.
Yeah, but see, now Howie's sitting up there. And Howie, in your area, are there a whole lot of things people spend their entertainment dollar on, or just about you're it and or the occasional movie?
What has happened, and if you go around the whole country and you talk to as many promoters as I do, in most parts of the country, short track racing, they've seen, and we've seen a downturn, and I think the downturn is predominantly because we have an aging population base. The people who started with us in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s are now 80, 70, 60, and 50, and a lot of them aren't coming to the races anymore. And we're doing everything possible that we can do to get youth into the races. And I can see the crowds slipping. I can see the crowds slipping over the last 10 years across the country, and some changes are going to have to be made in the structure of short track racing,
Howie,
to keep these facilities going.
I think we need to get the younger people back interested in racing, the kids especially. I do a Magic 4 class. It's four cylinders. The kids race for trophies, but I'll tell you what, I got 14 or 15 of them. I started this year. And I could see a difference in my crowd from bringing the kids in. We need to train them, get them used to what's going on.
Absolutely.
And we have to get them into racing and help them along. And in this way, we can bring the fathers, the uncles, the aunts, the grandfathers, and everybody, you know, around it back into it. We have to introduce this to these people.
There's no question. There's no question. We have to get youth involved, and we have to get kids at any cost. We have to get kids at any cost coming out to these short track facilities.
We have a whole brand new of a breed of people, like you said, the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and we need to get the kids interested. And I think it's going to turn around the whole racing curve. I think what goes around comes around, and I believe in this wholeheartedly. I can remember as I was a kid and, going to the races and with my father's uncles and this and that. And now that I'm running a racetrack, I can see a whole different change. And, you know, and people have changed a lot in the last 10 years, I could say.
And I'll tell you, he said the right thing. Kids at any cost.
And, I can explain something to you. We have a NHRA drag strip also. And we run a Wednesday night street night where kids come in, pay $20 to enter their car, pay $10 for their girlfriend, and they can come in and they can run their Ford Mustang to their Honda to whatever, to their pop's, Buick. They can go down the track. They can sit there all night. There's no pressure on. It's called Test and Tune. It's Wednesday night, street night, with mufflers. And it is so refreshing. It is so refreshing to get 300 cars on a Wednesday night to do this. And this is going to scare you guys. And it scares me. 600-700 people in the grandstand to come out and watch cars on a Wednesday night.
Hey, Howie, I went to Atlanta Motor Speedway about 3 weeks ago talking about something I was going to work with them on, and they told me about a 12-week thing they do on the front straightaway at Atlanta Motor Speedway on pit road. Let the kids come drag race their cars.
Yeah, and
5,000 people sitting in the grandstands and 300 streetcars at Atlanta Motor Speedway for 12 weeks. They charge them all $25 and $15 to get in the grandstands to watch them drag race their cars on pit road. I was impressed.
Salt Lake City.
No doubt.
The same thing.
Howie, I got a quick question for you. This is Rick Angies. A lot of things down here in Florida is about all the tracks working together. Is there any of that with you?
We all work together to run a big race at the end of the year up in Syracuse, New York on the mile, and we all shut down for that one race. Other than that, there's not a lot of working together. We have another track up by us called Albany Saratoga, and I give his free passes away in our 50-50 raffle, and he gives my passes away, and he runs on Friday night, and we run on Saturday night, and about a third of his crowd comes from my track, and about a third of my crowd comes from his track. The problem, we're usually so far apart, the tracks are over 100 miles apart, and once you get out of a 100-mile radius, it's hard to work with your sister track.
Howie, I got a quick question for you. How do you like message boards?
Message boards?
Yeah, like on the internet.
I gave up reading them. I don't like them.
Thank you.
It seems that, you know, people in our sport, there is a contingent in our sport that no matter whether you do good or whether you do bad, they want to tear the racetrack apart. They want to tear the promoter apart.
Do you?
I guess it has a place, but I just ignore them 100%. I don't want to know about it because everybody in our type of a sport can be criticized.
Do you have all these armchair quarterbacks that come to you and tell you?
I can hardly hear you.
Do you have all these armchair quarterbacks that come to you and tell you, you should be doing this and you should be doing that, you should be paying more money, you should be doing this way and that way? Do you have that too, in your neck of the woods up there?
I think we all have it. I think we all have
What's your answer to a person when they say that to you? How do you answer them?
I tell them real simple. It cost me to put on a race about $30,000 for the insurance, all the help, all the purses, you know, everything that we have, the maintenance. We have track preparation. If you have a dirt track, my track in particular costs $2,000 a night to prepare. You've got to advertise it. And I just tell them, look it, you want to run a race? Come on out. You know, give me $30,000 and you run a race and you stick your neck out.
You guys all go to the same school, don't
same
you?
School.
Y'all go to the same college.
Same university.
It's not the same school. We We're just thinking of the dollar.
It is the same school. We always tell what you need to do is buy you a racetrack.
The school of hard knocks.
And, you know, here's the school biggest problem in the country. Let's say that there are 600 racetracks, and let's say that 150 of them, or a quarter of them, are going to go broke next year. There are another 150 foals that, you know, grandma died and left them a couple $100,000, and they're going to open up the racetrack next door, and they find out in a very, very short time they have been relieved of every penny they have. And they go by the wayside. And then some other fool comes along whose grandma left him $300,000, and he's going to lower the gates, raise the purses, and they will come. Well, they don't come. And we're never going to see the weak tracks fall by the wayside, and we're all going to have to put up with them because there's always somebody with a new infusion of cash to come in and run a track.
Hey, Howie, you're talking about me. Unfortunately, I think you're talking about me because I was a wise-ass racer in about 1980 that had electronics business, made good money, and decided I was going to sell that place because it was a pain in the butt, and I was going to get rid of it, and I was going to go get me a racetrack. And I was going to show Jimmy Mingo at East Bay Raceway the right way to do it. Now, Jimmy, I hope you're listening, because I'm going to tell you I'm sorry.
Well,
and I went out, and I bought me a racetrack, and I spent about $900,000 between 1980 and 1983. And when I closed the racetrack and walked away from it broke, they had repossessed my boat and my car and my truck. They didn't get my house, okay, because it was paid for at one time, but I mortgaged it to pay the purse for a late model race at once. So they got everything but my house because they had mortgaged it, and I got to start over. And everybody in the racing industry in those days loved Don Arone. He was the greatest guy in the world. He gave them everything they ever wanted, including his whole life. And since then, they haven't liked me too much because I still give everything I've got. I just won't give the last nickel till we go broke. We try to keep the doors open.
No, this racing business, getting money from this economy when the average family is having a very hard time paying their debts. They don't have the $50, $60, $70 to come out to the track. A lot of them would like to come out to the track.
And we're all competing for the same.
It is the hardest thing that I have ever seen in my entire life. And it is going to turn. It'll turn someday. And it might get a little easier for us.
Howie, buddy, we appreciate you joining us tonight. A lot of insight, a lot of things getting bounced around. Hopefully some people getting informed, and hopefully a few new people trying to figure out that it's not as easy as it sounds. And if we keep preaching, hopefully the choir will listen.
Well, it's very rewarding when you hit one of those nights and you can get 3,000 people, 1,000 more than you normally get, 3,200, and your pits are full, and everything goes off just perfect. And you're walking in the cool northeast air, and you're walking out of the park knowing that you made a hit of $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. It's just such a good feeling. You didn't get anybody hurt. It was a great night. Unfortunately, We all get structured to what the big guys pay. And we think because we have a track that we can pay what the big guys pay, the bigger tracks pay, when the reality of it is probably we cannot pay the purse structures. And in drag racing, what happens, if I just have one more minute here, in drag racing, we have cars that have 700-800-inch 454 engines in that are $60,000-$80,000 engines. And when they come to me and say, "Hey, Howie, I only got $400, and I've got $80,000 in my engine," and I say, "Yeah, but you're not like the street class that draws 700 or 800 people on a Wednesday night. You guys only draw 300 people on a Sunday."
Hey, Howie, we're getting to the bottom of the hour, brother.
Hey, Howie, we want to thank you very, very much for spending some time with you, with us, and we will get back to you probably early next year and see how things are going.
It was fun. Bye now.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions coming in over email and the message board when we come back for the final half hour of Real Racing USA.
All right.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton, Andrews Dodge.
Carnac.com is your one-stop racing news leader. From the local ranks of the Saturday night short tracks to the hundreds of national series covering America, Carnac.com has you covered. Serving the southeastern United States with dozens of reporters and fact finders combing the short tracks of America, Carnac.com brings you the hard-to-get inside reports about what's really happening at the track. Visit Carnac.com online at KARNAC.com or listen to Short Track America online internet radio for the latest news hot off the turns. Carnac.com, where racers go that want both sides of the story.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
Ah.
Don Nerone on the loose again.
Don looking through the camera. Real quick, let's go to the message board.
Hey, before we do that, I just want to say, you know, this is being recorded by the FastTimesProductions.com people.
Rick and Susan.
Rick and Susan. They may or may not have some of this stuff available later. Depends on what kind of contractual agreements we work
contractual
out.
Contractual obligations.
Guess who's listening in tonight? Just gave us a call. They're off the air.
George Bush, Sr.
No, sir. Terry Scampton, Real Racers Helping Racers, and all the things, lug nuts, cool. Everybody remembers. We want to wish him a quick return as he gets out and about some more to the tracks and stuff. He's been over to East Bay, I think, to the go-karts and so forth, but it's nice to see that Terry's on the mend and doing well.
All right, let's go to the message board.
Questions.
This one's for John, and it's from Joy.
From the bathroom wall.
From the bathroom wall. John at DeSoto, can you give the drivers a break? Please explain how you can expect the drivers to pay for all the things you require them to pay for every time they race at DeSoto, i.e., pit admission fees for self, family, and helpers, entry fee for car, pit slab, DeSoto tires, DeSoto fuel. The drivers who put on the show each week are expected to pay out so much. Why? Since they are the ones that make the fans come to the Speedway to watch the races, please give them a break. Can't you pay the purse from just the entry fee and use some of the admission dollars from the fans and stop charging the drivers for all these other things? Just seems like you are robbing the ones that you are most dependent on.
Well, I can answer that real easy. I don't think we charge anything different than any other racetrack that's in Florida right now. That's all I can say about that. I mean, Don, I mean, what do you do, Don?
Well, I think there's a few things that you charge more than I charge.
What, like what?
Like the pit slab parking things. There's a few of those things you do charge a little more for, and you pay a little higher purse than I do.
I think we do.
Yeah,
right.
I think you pay a little higher purse.
John, is it true that you're putting a toll booth up out on Route 64 coming out to DeSoto Speedway?
Applied for that permit already. I don't know if it's coming through, but we're looking into it.
Gotcha.
And Don is right, though. I mean, you know, he is right. Like, Don, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot. What do you pay for a street stock feature win?
Less than you do.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
And what do you charge for parking? More than I do, and I think I sell hot dogs cheaper than you do, and I think you sell drinks cheaper than I do. And what happens?
Watch out, they're going fist to cuss pretty soon.
guys and girls and racers and fans, anybody that look at the financials of a racetrack would wonder, what is wrong with those nuts? And we look at our own selves all the time saying, we got to be nuts. Now, I'm going to tell you that the guy that I work for, Robert Hart's, and I'm not going to put a number, but I'm going to put many, many, many millions of dollars worth of property under a racetrack that at its very, very best, on its most profitable round for the year, pays for the taxes, and when you get all done, nobody's really making any money in this business. Obviously, we're supposed to be in a business, and it's supposed to be a hobby for the racers. Nobody's going to make a living racing anymore. If you look at every racetrack, they're all spending all they can possibly spend on the racer, trying to get him to come to the racetrack. All there is, some of them spend more. The ones that spend more, the ones you see that come and buy a racetrack, they're around a couple of years, they leave. I'm not going to mention names, but if you've been around for the last 15 years, have you seen 10 promoters come and go? Why did they leave? Because they ran out of money. Basically ran out of money, couldn't afford to pay it anymore. John, I know him well now. John is a guy that adds one and comes up with two so that he can afford to do it. I add one and come up with two so we can afford to do it. We may not add in exactly the same way. But he might sell something for more than me, and I might sell something for more than him. I may have something that's cheaper than his. He may have something that costs more than mine. But in the end, trust me, I don't know any racetrack that goes, oh, we're making plenty of money at our racetrack, right? We're all getting our butts kicked, and it's hurting the industry. It's hurting the fans. It's hurting the cars. It's hurting the racetrack. And the whole industry is suffering. We need to turn that around. One of the ways to turn it around is not to hear as much negativity as we do. Years ago, all the race fans got together and said, boy, we're going to have a big race wherever it is, regardless of what racetrack it was.
And they went.
We went from Golden Gate to Sunshine to DeSoto to Hialeah 4 weeks in a row for the big late model races and traveled around doing that. Couldn't wait to get there. Had our sections and our bleachers mapped out ahead of time. We got tour buses and rode on tour buses together. We had a lot of fun. And today it's, don't go over to Orlando or don't go to Bradenton or don't go to New Smyrna or don't go to wherever it might be the place that you happen not to like. But no, you'd be doing the opposite. Grab your neighbor next door to you. And I've said this so many times.
Bring somebody that has never been.
Find your neighbor that has never been to the racetrack before.
Exactly.
Wherever you live. If you're listening to this, whether it's Ocala, Inverness, the dirt track at East Bay, wherever it might be, go get your neighbor next door and say, man, I'm going to go show you something that's really cool. You want to go to races tonight? And talk him into going to the races to your local racetrack. And everybody that loves racing would do that every week. We could fix most of the problems. Everybody would be happy.
John.
Okay. Well, let's continue with the
message
board.
Go ahead, Mark. I hate
it. Another guy that says, Don, you're well-respected and liked in Auburndale is all that I can say. Everyone wishes that you would come back and save them.
Now, you see, I'm the bad guy at New Smyrna, but I'm the good guy at Auburndale. You know why? I used to be at Auburndale, and that was really a pretty neat little racetrack. And yes, a lot of diehard race people in Auburndale. You want to talk about diehard fans? The easiest racetrack that I ever promoted in my life was Auburndale Speedway. Basically, if you open the gate and leave them people alone, they'll come and grow and have a good time. And it ain't pretty, but, boy, they race hard, and they have fun.
I want to sell beer at Auburndale.
And the beer sales are great at Auburndale. Let me tell
That's
you
what that. I want to do.
If you go down into the pits and look at the majority of the people that race at Auburndale, and in that market area there, that's not a rich market area. There's some people there with a lot of money. There's a lot of people with working man's paychecks, and they cannot afford to go anywhere else. They build a street stock. They race at Auburndale, and they have no choice but to do that. They're not going to come to DeSoto.
And they have a great time doing it.
And they're not going to come to Orlando. That's where they have to race. And they get hung out to dry sometimes on some deals over there. But
they want beer.
They want beer.
There's Polk County, and I've said I lived there for a lot of years. Polk County is the single largest county for race fans in Florida. There's no question, right? And Hillsborough County is number two.
Easily.
And they touch each other, and it's the same market, and they blend together. So,
We got another question from Rick Williamson. Don, I heard you say again on the show tonight the Southern Sportsman rules will be the same. That's what's wrong. There were two sets of rules this year. Things like crate motors need to be addressed. By the rules, 3,100 pounds minimum. The crate cars are light by 100 pounds. And not only made to add weight to get them above the minimum weight, and they have four-barrel carburetors. The rules say only two barrels, plus the fact that in tech, nothing is checked inside the motors that are crates, and the normal motors have to spend an hour or more pulling motors apart. It needs to be one way or the other.
I don't know that much about the Sportsman rules, and I hadn't even looked at them in a long time. I asked Todd about, had he put a crate motor program in? He said he had put it in the Sportsman division, and I said, okay. Now, I know that he's revising his rules for what he has changed, and we'll have them out. What he revised them to is what they're going to be. And I'm going to tell you that I'm not going to change them. On the other hand, the question of crate motors, okay? I'm not an advocate of crate motors, but I think, and I've told many people that wanted to run late model crate motors, that if you can't afford to own a super late model, buy a street stock. I've said that many times, and I've been criticized for it. If you can't afford to run a late model, don't run a late model. Buy a street stock or buy a truck. They run crate motors. So street stocks with crate motors, I got to admit, sound like a good idea to me. We allow them to run in Lake City in our program up there. And as far as I'm concerned, in the street stock area, they all should be allowed to run them. It's inexpensive.
I'm running them in street stocks. I'm running them in pure stocks.
The problem is teching them is really difficult. And it just so happens that when in our meeting that John Allwer and the ASA guy said he's going to come during Speed Week, we are running crate late models during Speed Week, and he's going to send a couple of his guys. I got a couple of new guys doing homework on the proper way to find out whether they have been
tampered with.
Tampered with would be a nice word. Tampered with or not, and our own truck series will probably get to smell some of that. The crate motor tampering is a no-no. Now, what is the penalty? Here's something that this would be a great thing to tell the whole world. If you take a spec motor that we run in our late models and in our super late models, which are really inexpensive, or a crate motor, which we have to have some integrity in running those. You can't play with them. If you get caught playing with a spec motor, what's the penalty?
I own the motor.
There you go.
Okay. First of all, I own the
motor.
We're taking the motor away from you.
Hey, I just want to
It gets better. B,
you will not race with me anymore. That race car driver, car owner, and number's gone. Okay? Everything, whatever the worst possible scenario is what's going to happen to you if you cheat that game. That's not one we're going to do with it. If you look at NASCAR's deal for traction control, it says the same thing. Team, owner, car, driver, crew chief, everybody's gone forever.
We have another dirt track owner on the phone with us, just so you guys know. But I want to know, Todd Hutto is on the line with us right now. Has anybody ever been busted for traction control in Florida in the last 10 years?
Busted for traction control in the last 10 years? No. No, I can tell you some stories about looking for traction
control. I'm sure. We've heard that. That's a whole other show.
I've got nitrous bottles.
That's a whole other show.
All kinds of other devices looking for traction control. Do we believe that somebody has run traction control in Florida? Absolutely.
Good evening, Mr. Hutto.
Go ahead.
Mr. Hutto, from what we understand, welcome to the show, Real Racing USA on Short Track America. But from what we understand, you're the new ombudsman, the new
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House for Florida Stock Car Racing. Is this true?
Thanks to my old buddy Don Rome, I guess it's true, and a couple of yells in the background from Sunday's meeting, I guess.
So you were voted in?
I was appointed. I don't know too much about voted in.
I didn't hear a vote.
He didn't have a choice.
Hey, Todd, I want to give you one major thing here, and that is the opportunity to let the racers know why the steps were taken that you've taken to not maybe give up the series as much as everybody thinks you have, but to yet move in a different direction here so that things could be worked out and worked together, and why you were the guy that I feel took the high road.
Well, actually, it's something we've been talking about for a while. Obviously, I have a lot of different commitments, not necessarily here in Florida, but throughout the states. I got a couple of different states that we're working on with different racetracks. And you know, one of the biggest things is I'm hands-on. I like to be there, be involved with the series and different things. And the last couple months, I haven't been able to be at any of the series races. And, of course, that involves Debbie and Mike and some of the other guys that travel with us. And I'm close to all these people. And, of course, me and Debbie being married, we're split up and kind of not at the same place anymore. So that was some of our decision. And with Scott and Becky being involved with Don and Rick and Mel with the modified deal and all, I felt very comfortable doing what I think is the right thing to keep the racing headed in the right direction. Like we were just talking about, everybody talking about the negatives. Let's keep everything positive and keep it headed in the right direction. And hopefully I can still play a role with all the asphalt tracks. If there was a conflict to come up, maybe I can step in and be the mediator and take care of some of the problems or something that an outsider could see that maybe somebody on the inside couldn't see. Hopefully I can play a role there.
Well, Todd, I tell you what, a lot of the folks are glad to hear some of the words Don has spoken tonight about not changing a whole lot, especially right out of the box or anything, and making sure that they can still run and do the things that they had planned on doing in 2006 and sounds like on into 2007 and maybe even at some different tracks that they didn't get to run at quite so much. Are those some of the things that you tried to help make sure stayed in place and things didn't change a lot for your racers?
Not necessarily. Don and has taught me a lot over the years. So actually a lot of my direction has been from his direction over the years. And we've always played well off each other. He's taught me a lot. And sometimes I don't know if you can teach an old dog new tricks, but every now and then I try to put my two cent in and, you know, hopefully we can work things out with, you know, some different racetracks and different people. His stuff that he's always done, you know, has followed the same directions and same guidelines, and not a whole lot's changed. And I don't see any changes with the Sportsman, the Mini Stock, or the Modifieds. And like I say, the Modifieds, obviously, is two different sets of rules in the state. And one of my agendas was to, you know, kind of work things together and get them together. One of his agendas is to kind of keep them a little bit further apart, which, you know, is a great thing, either which way you look at it.
You know,
I still have a place to race.
You know, excuse me just a minute, Todd. Bill Green, I'm ashamed of you. It was only about almost an hour and 45 minutes ago you were talking about this was the darkest day in Florida racing.
It
now
is.
You were talking this, and now you get Todd Hunter on here, and you make this like this was a great love fest. Now, what do we got going on here?
I haven't heard anything dark yet about
it. I haven't either.
That was just his statement at the beginning of the thing.
Bill is once again starting trouble and then blaming it on us.
Well, we'll get blamed for it.
It's all their fault, Todd.
Good grief.
They blame everything on me. It's okay. It's just like everybody blames everything in Florida on Don.
What's on your mind, Don?
Nothing whatsoever. I'm really glad. I expected we get something good going here.
Well, we got some good questions, I think, here. Let's go ahead and hit those.
Hey, Todd,
hang in there with
us. Todd, are you still on the line?
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Okay, buddy. You hang in there, and trust me, I appreciate everything you said, and we're really going to miss you. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to be but a phone call away, so I can always stir something up. So.
There you go. I'm going to miss you.
Don, a quick question on the email from Mo. You know Mo. Oh,
don't go away, Todd. Hang in there. Hang on for a minute.
Is Crashorama going to get bigger, and can someone help Ray get a car for the Cocoa Fair?
Oh, man, I've got something to talk about here. Everybody on here obviously reads the Internet. You've seen the Chuck thing with Ray.
We're way over
and
it,
Chuck
man.
And Ray. Well, it's the, you know, but you got to realize it's been going on forever. And anytime we do anything, Ray calls every promoter, every fairgrounds operator, calls everybody all the time, dials the phone, and tells them what a bad guy Chuck is. They're having a demo over there, tries everything he can to discredit anything that we've ever done. And, you know, but that's what he is, and we understand that. Well, they get this challenge thing going, which I had nothing to do with. Finally got around to, well, does it pay them? I said, I'll pay $500 to the winner. Ray gets up with this. Well, are you sure you're going to pay me? Well, if I said I was going to pay you, okay, I'll pay you. Okay, well, we're going to do this. Chuck goes out, works his butt off about 3 weeks, gets him a car built. He hadn't been in a demo car in 3 or 4 years. Gets him a car built ready for Ray. And Ray's ready for him. You've been reading about all this all the way through this. Ray tells us today he doesn't have a car. Now, everybody offered to build him a car. What's the penalty if you lose, like not show up? I personally think that Ray's penalty should be, right, he's barred from Karnak.
I think that's it.
Just take him off the board. He's not allowed to post no more.
Ban him.
I had no clue what was really going on in the background, but I was looking forward to it.
Now, what was the next question?
What was the next question?
Crashorama getting bigger?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I guess. We're doing some fairground shows right now, but you'll see some of the smaller shows that we've been doing ease back a little bit and try to get into the bigger shows. We sell every seat in the house and standing room at Orlando Speed World Thanksgiving weekend. We knocked that thing dead. Branching off from that this year, went to DeSoto Speedway and had about the same outcome, just literally blasted the place. So those two places work. We're looking for bigger places with more seats.
You ever done one on dirt?
You're going to swell. They called and asked a friend of mine. I shouldn't say what racetrack. What the heck? A friend of mine from Ohio that has a very big dirt racetrack, okay, that a NASCAR driver happens to operate, said, you think you can do it on the front straight of a dirt racetrack? I said, the bank's too high. So it's kind of hard. A flat dirt track, we probably could. Atlanta Motor Speedway called us and asked us if we do one on the front straightaway at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and I think that's probably the trophy of all time.
That's cool. Is there another question on there for Todd?
I got a question for Todd. Todd, you know, after Sunday, everybody talking, basically, you know, they put you as the mediator. Do you think anybody will call you?
I'm not sure, but I'm going to call them.
So you're going to check in on them all the time?
I'm like Don said, I'm going to give it about 2.5-3 weeks, and I'm going to call every racetrack and expect them to send me their schedule. And we're going to get this thing kicked off, and let's do it right.
So you're going to be able to sit back, look at every schedule, and go, and then call back to them and say, listen, you've got this and this overlapping with so-and-so. We need to work that out.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And it's going to help the race fans. That's what we're trying to do. Obviously, it helps the racetrack. But right now we're kind of segregating the race fans. If there's a big show at, you know, New Smyrna, and there's a big show at DeSoto, we're taking those race fans and separating them if it's super late models.
Hey, Todd,
let's not do that.
Todd, speaking of schedules, you know, I'm kind of mad at you. I think you put a date against me.
Yeah, well, you know.
28 days in a row at East Bay Raceway? You didn't leave us any place to go. 28 days in a row?
Now, I've heard for 5 years that I've had racing series on an asphalt and a dirt track. It wasn't fair. So, I mean, obviously, you're in New Smyrna and I'm in East Bay and it's dirt, so I really ain't worried about that. No,
I can remember when you did 9 days. You used to come over to help with the speed. We can do 10 days in a row and go, oh, man, I'm beat. And then you come out with your own schedule with 28 in a row.
Todd, yeah. I got another question for you, man. You're in the dirt track scene. You own a dirt track. You had the three asphalt series, which those three series, you know, do pull from the other tracks, the drivers and such. Why don't the dirt tracks have something like that?
They do. It's just on a bigger, little bit bigger level. I mean, obviously, our, like Don was just talking about, we run 28 days in a row, and we was talking the highway and all that stuff about racing in the summer. They race 6 months and stuff. Well, all of our racers that we get down during the wintertime is from up north, and those are from your bigger traveling series, the Lucas Oil stuff and the ASDS sprint cars and different things. So those traveling series are there, and most of the time some of those series are regional.
Hey, but what I'm talking about, what I'm talking about, Todd, is the Southern Sportsman Series, the Florida Mini Stock Challenge, and the Gulf Coast Modifieds are Florida series.
Uh-huh.
We don't. There is no dirt Florida series that travel around, is there?
Other than maybe the mini sprint, we do have those in East Bay, and they go to Lake City and they go to Putnam. But I mean, you're talking about Volusia County, you're talking about Putnam, you're talking about Lake City, mm-hmm. North Florida now, and East Bay. It's not a whole lot of contrast, I guess, between the tracks to do a traveling type deal or whatever.
Well, there's late model racers are racing at both Putnam and,
but they're not in a series.
Yeah. No, not in a series.
And that's true. There are a lot that cross over and go to the other tracks. And Todd and them ran, I think, 7 360 sprint shows this year, and other tracks ran them at opposite weeks. So those guys went. And the same thing with their open wheel modifies. They'll go to Putnam when Todd's got them off and they've got a race at Putnam. So that's one of these scheduling things that, as long as there's somebody like Todd helping him out, it should be easy to take care of.
I don't know about easy to take care of. Actually, what we do the same thing with the dirt side that we do on the asphalt side, but actually we kind of do it individually, so to speak, where I've had a meeting with Volusia. I've already had a meeting with North Florida and Putnam, and we've already got our 2007 schedules worked out. So I'm running the 360 sprints the second Saturday of each month. We're rotating open wheel modifieds between two racetracks, Putnam and East Bay. And we do the same thing with the late models when they're off. My late models go up there and different things. And that's kind of how we do our schedule there. The difference is, I think there's four racetracks that are dirt, where there's probably, what, nine racetracks that are asphalt in the state, and a whole lot more touring series. So
that's beyond my contract.
All right, Todd, man, brother, thanks for being on the show tonight, man.
All righty, thank you very much. And like I say, I'd like to say good luck to all the promoters and look forward to working with everybody, and look forward to all the fans bringing a friend to the racetrack, whatever racetrack it may be.
When did you say you were going to call all those promoters from the other tracks?
I'm going to give them 2.5-3 weeks, and then I'm going to be calling, knocking on the door.
Then we're going to be calling you.
That'll work.
All right, brother.
Thanks, sir.
All right, Todd Hutto, man.
Cool.
Cool deal. Hey, awesome. Another quick question for you, Don. When will there be a new schedule ready for the Southern Sportsman Series?
It's already done. They haven't posted it yet, but it is actually finished and was done before we left the meeting. Now,
it'll be on their website shortly.
Shortly. First thing, of course, we're going to do is get all our schedules together and make sure we're not on top of each other somewhere, which I don't think we will be. But all our tour series are races are completely done except for two. And I think tonight we finish up those. I think John and I will finish up those last two that we're going to talk about. And ours are ready to go.
All right.
When we leave that meeting, we're generally on the big stuff, pretty much ready to go. A lot of little
stuff. How long we got to wait before you'll come back and sit down with us again? We did 2 hours way too fast.
Well, you didn't have any. I may never come back now because this was pretty boring. I mean, you know, for me in radio, this
no
was
fish
pretty
to
boring.
Feed on, huh?
Real quick,
the last
Don.
Time I was with you, was boring too.
You scared everybody off.
Yeah, come on, guys.
We got one more question for you, Don.
Entertainment. Go ahead.
Before we go, It says you have three tracks and now six series. How long will it be before you take over the AACS?
Oh, I don't. That's up to John. We'll have to wait and see. He's either going to have to sell it to me, give it to me, retire. But I will give you one insight. What I do know for sure, I know how old I am, and in 4 years, it's somebody else's game. Four more years. Those of you who love me can say goodbye and be happy I went fishing. And the ones that hate me be happy because I'll be gone. But in four more years, I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm going to sit back and take it nice and easy.
Allow me to MC the roast.
Yep. Okay, you can be there. But in four more years, I'm gonna slow down and quit a little bit. I'm trying to get all of this stuff worked out, get as much of this fixed as I can before I leave, because I probably created breaking some of it, too.
We thank you so much.
And you have a huge event. We have a huge event coming up at your New Smyrna Speedway track in the 18th, the 18th of November.
Governor's Cup. Don's race.
Yep,
Don's
should
race,
be cool.
Don's
41st race. Annual Governor's Cup.
And the week before that, isn't New Smyrna doing a special with the David Leonard Foundation? Greg,
are they? Well, tell
I
them
believe
about
so.
Well,
the November 11th at New Smyrna Speedway, that'll be the weekend that they do a special collection and racing for David Leonard's memorial, Greg Leonard and Vera's son, David, as we continue to try to raise funds to help them take care of the needs of that child. So we appreciate everybody showing up and helping that out. And don't forget, December 8th and 9th, the Hopkins Family Motorsports truck race and
at Orlando Speedway.
We'll be having Rick on here.
The show is, and if somebody doesn't believe it, it's a true charity.
Oh yeah,
the officials are actually donating their time.
Yep, I said I'd be there to do it too. Yep.
It's going to be a real deal.
And what do you have coming up, John?
We got the Florida 400s, the 7th, 8th, and 9th of December.
And I'll be there.
Sprints, midgets, sprints, something like
sprint
that.
Wingless sprints.
Wingless sprints.
400 laps.
400 laps of wingless
on
sprints.
On DeSoto. That's not like it's on, you know.
I'll be there. Trust me.
And anybody who's who might be interested, tonight's show was videotaped by Fast Times Production. And after we finished after we finished finagling our contractual arrangements,
obligations,
they will be available.
No doubt. We got to thank
Rick and Susan are here every week taking care of this.
Race Car Engineering, Budweiser's, Dayton Andrews Dodge, Heels and Wheels, Fast Time Productions, Go Fast Productions, and of course CJ from Evergreen Construction and Development. Well, guys, we did it again.
Never mind. Take it to the limit, man.
I'm going to thank John Sapperbone, Don Nerone, Todd Hutto.
Making money, you know. your love making time. If it all fell to pieces tomorrow, would you still be mine? When you're looking for your freedom, nobody seems to care, and you can't find the door. One more time. Take it to the limit. Take it to the limit. Take it to the limit. One more time. To the limit, one more time.